You're listening to Eaters.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. دروش بالله. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, after the shahadat of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala an, the man who took complete control of the Islamic empire was Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. Muslim historians have described him to be a very powerful individual, a very charismatic individual. He is the fifth Umayyad Khalifa, the fifth Umayyad ruler. The first was Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, a companion of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After him was Yazid ibn Muawiyah, the second. After Yazid ibn Muawiyah was Muawiyah the second, third Umayyad Khalifa. And after Muawiyah ibn Yazid was Marwan ibn Hakam. And after Marwan ibn Hakam comes Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. This man was a very capable ruler. In fact, Ibn Khaldun rahmatullah alayhi, the 14th century Muslim historian, has mentioned that Abdul Malik ibn Marwan is considered to be amongst the best Muslim Arab rulers. The best Muslim Arab rulers. This is what Ibn Khaldun rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned. Khair, Abdul Malik ibn Marwan was born in the city of Makkah Mukarramah, and he grew up in the city of Medina Munawwara, highly educated individual, and all the leadership qualities from a very young age were with this individual. What we need to remember is that with the Umayyads, they had something in them, perhaps one can say that they intrinsic nature was that they were eager to spread Islam to the four corners of the world. And this was with every leader that came. With the Abbasid Khilafat it actually stops. But with the Umayyads, these were people who wanted to spread Islam. And so if you look at the Umayyad dynasty, that stretched. The Islamic empire stretched during the Umayyad dynasty from the Indian Ocean all the way to the Atlantic Ocean. From the Indian Ocean all the way to the Atlantic Ocean. So Marwan, Abdul Malik ibn Marwan became the leader in the year 65 Hijri. Approximately, some say 65, some have said that 66 Hijri. And this was when, of course, he was accepted as a ruler even when Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an was alive. So you had the people of Makkah who took Abdullah ibn Zubair, and you had the people of Sham who accepted Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. When we look into the life of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, perhaps the first thing that captures the mind and the heart is the legacy that he left. Most notably, Abdul Malik ibn Marwan commissioning the construction of Qubbatus Sakhra. Qubbatus Sakhra. Qubbatus Sakhra is the dome of the rock. The dome of the rock, which is in Al-Quds, Jerusalem. And so Abdul Malik ibn Marwan became very famous because it was Abdul Malik ibn Marwan who decided that he wanted to give complete protection to that one particular rock. Inshallah, we'll talk about that. And to give it a covering. And he wanted to make sure that it's covered in such a way that on top of it, a beautiful building is constructed. And so what he did is that he traveled from Dimashq in Syria all the way to Jerusalem. So when he got to Jerusalem, he met up with all of the Muslims that were there, and he said to them that his intention was to build a monumental building, a beautiful construction that would cover the rock. And so all of the people in Jerusalem, the Muslims, accepted this, and in fact they were happy. No one showed any kind of reservations for this Khalifa, Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. And so what he did is that he appointed two individuals, and he said to them that you two are responsible as supervisors for this project until its completion. And so the two were appointed. The first man was Yazid ibn Salam. He was appointed. And the second man was Raja ibn Rahway or Haiva. Raja ibn Haiva. So he was the second man appointed also. And he said to them that both of you are completely responsible for the construction of this masjid. And what he did is that he called the best architects, the best masons, the best craftsmen from all over the Islamic Empire. And he said, all of you must come here and stay in Jerusalem until this masjid is completed. And he said to the two, especially Yazid ibn Salam, that make sure you are very generous in the construction of this masjid. So Qubbatus Sakhra, the name given to it, is the dome of the rock, the dome of the rock, which is standing even today. This magnificent, beautiful building that is standing very, very close to Haram Sharif, Masjid Aqsa. So subhanallah, you have Masjid Aqsa, and just towards one side you have the dome of the rock. And so when you talk about Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, the first thing that captures the mind and the heart is his great service of Islam, and that he gave complete preservation and protection to the dome of the rock. It is said that he even said to the two that I am going to set aside a treasury so that when it comes to spending, all of you are comfortable. He said the building must be absolutely beautiful, one of its kind. It should be an eye-catching building in its beauty and its splendor. So he said that. And what he did is that towards the eastern side of Haram Sharif, he had this treasury, Baytul Mal, set up. And in that Baytul Mal, only that money was deposited, which was to be used for the construction of Masjid-e-Sakhra. It is said that as much as 7 times the revenue of Egypt was deposited into this treasury. That's what they say. Ibn al-Maqdisi, a historian, has mentioned that. So 7 times the revenue of the entire Egypt was deposited into this Baytul Mal. And he said to them that make sure you spend freely. Because he was the Khalifa, the ruler, and at that time the Khilafat and the center of Khilafat was in Dimashq in Syria. So he was to return back, and he gave the responsibility to these two individuals. Subhanallah, it took approximately 7 years for the construction of this building. And if you look at this building, it's octagonal. It's octagonal. It's got 8 sides. Beautiful building. In fact, after 7 years, When Abdul Malik ibn Marwan came back, he was mesmerized by the beauty of this building that was standing. It had 8 doors and 7 windows. 8 doors and 7 windows, a beautiful building. And he was so happy with the 2 appointed individuals as supervisors. It is said that 100,000 dinars were still remaining in Baytul Mal that were not spent. 100,000 dinar. Now that's a lot of money, because dinar is gold. Dinar is gold. And so when he looked at Masjid-e-Sakhra, he said that, "I want to give this to both of you, 50,000 dinars each, 50,000 dinars each." But both of them refused, and they said that according to the mas'ala, this money was actually collected for the construction of this masjid, which is Masjid-e-Sakhra, and therefore we refuse to take this amount. Now 50,000 is a lot of money. And so what they did is that, what do we do with that amount? So they decided that they were going to melt the 100,000 gold coins. They were going to melt it. And after melting it, liquid gold, they poured it upon the exterior of the dome. The exterior of the dome. So that was actually solid gold. And so a dazzling image. You couldn't actually see the dome with the naked eye. That is how beautiful it was. And the scholars have mentioned that this is the first piece of Islamic architecture sponsored by any Muslim ruler. The first. This was a showcase of its time. A beautiful building that was built close to Masjid-e-Aqsa. And of course we have other buildings, but those buildings came later on. This is in the 72 year of Hijri. And of course he was only the 5th Umayyad Khalifa. You have Alhambra in Spain. You have the Cordoba Masjid also. You have Madinatul Zahra, a beautiful building which is in Spain. And you also have, of course, the Taj Mahal, which is in India. But no building can actually be compared with this building. And in fact, the great Muslim traveler Ibn Battuta, rahmatullah alayhi, has mentioned, Ibn Battuta says that there is no tongue really to describe the beauty of Qubbatul Sakhra, the Dome of the Rock. So this magnificent building was constructed and commissioned by Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. So of course, one can never forget this great Muslim ruler. And if you look at Haram Sharif, brothers who have been there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes all of us, it's very rectangular. Haram Sharif is upon a rectangular platform, and you have Masjid-e-Aqsa towards the western side of the wall, and then you have the Dome of the Rock right in the middle. And approximately the entire area is 145,000 square meters. 145,000 square meters. Magnificent building, and it took them 7 years to complete. Scholars have mentioned the name that is given, Qubbatul Sakhra, and some even say Masjid-e-Sakhra. In fact, it's not a masjid. The masjid is Masjid-e-Aqsa. But this is the Dome of the Rock. The reason why great fame is given to this building, this monumental building, is because of its connection with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now that entire zone is actually connected to all of the prophets, Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, but especially Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you look at Surah Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Subhanallazi asra bi abdihi laylam min al masjid al haram ila al masjid al aqsa. Glory be to Allah who took his servant by the night from Masjid-e-Haram to Masjid-e-Aqsa. Now this first portion of the travel, this first travel, in the Quranic terminology, the name that is given is Isra. So from Makkah Mukarrama, Masjid-e-Haram to Masjid-e-Aqsa, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that travel, that is Isra. And then the second portion of the journey is the Mi'raj, which is also in the Quran. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى speaks of this. And of course, it's got a complete mentioning in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of the ahadith speak of the Mi'raj of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the Mi'raj actually means the ascension, where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken up with Hazrat Jibreel Amin. Now the ascension, where that took place, the scholars have mentioned, is exactly where you have this rock. Where you have this rock. Not from Masjid-e-Aqsa, but from the precincts of Masjid-e-Aqsa. So it's towards one side. And inshallah, if Allah wills, we will cover this. It's towards one side. And this rock is a special rock. Why? Because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood on it, and Jibreel Amin, and bi-iznillah, this was the second journey that started after Isra. After Isra comes the Mi'raj. And so standing on that rock, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was uplifted. And so again, Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, a great lover of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed he was an ashik. What he wanted to do was he wanted to preserve all of the Islamic sites, Islamic heritage, and especially this rock. Of course, this rock is not an ordinary rock. It has great significance because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood on it. And so what he decided is that he wanted to give it all the covering and protection. And therefore this masjid was built towards the middle section of the Haram Sharif. So towards the west you have Masjid-e-Aqsa, and towards the middle section you have the dome of the rock. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken. You have Maqam Ibrahim, which is also a stone that is in Makkah Mukarrama also. And the history of Maqam Ibrahim is that it's a stone, and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam stood on it, and that is why it is preserved until today. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam stood on it whilst carrying out the construction of Masjid al-Haram. And then you have another stone, which is Hajar-e-Aswad. Hajar-e-Aswad. Hajar-e-Aswad also comes from Jannah. And so during the construction of the Kaaba, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had placed the Hajar in that corner. So this is also a stone, and it was completely white. In the hadith it is mentioned that anyone who kisses the Hajar, Hajar-e-Aswad, on the day of Qiyamah, this black stone will do shafa'at of that individual. Imagine. The black stone will do shafa'at, will intercede so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him. But of course we need to remember that as Muslims we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala made it very clear that innaka hajarun, you are only a stone. And the reason why we kiss you is because it is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Hajar Aswad is preserved, you have Maqam Ibrahim that is preserved, and you also have another rock that is preserved, and that rock is preserved in the dome of the rock, which is Qubbatul Sakhra. And on top of that you have this beautiful dome which stretches from one side of the rock to another side, which is approximately 20 meters. How many meters? 20 meters, and then you have the rock which is beneath. Have brothers visited Masjid Al-Aqsa and the Dome of the Rock? Anybody been? MashaAllah, only one? Two? MashaAllah. Three? MashaAllah. And we have to confess to this that really, if you look at all of the Islamic symbols, perhaps the most neglected amongst the Muslim community is Masjid Al-Aqsa. The most neglected. And we have to rekindle that love for Masjid Al-Aqsa. Shah Faisal, when he decided in the early 70s to shut off oil from the rest of the world, Kissinger came to see him. And Kissinger said to him that, you know, this is a big mistake that you're doing. This is a big mistake that you're doing, shutting off the oil pumps from the world. This is a big mistake. And then as a joke, Kissinger said to him that, you know, Faisal, I haven't got enough oil, enough petrol in my jet to take me back to America. So maybe you will assist me. And so Shah Faisal looked at him and said to him that we as Muslims will return back to our dates and milk. What did he say? We as Arabs are strong people and we have been living on dates and milk, camel milk. And need be, we will return back to eating dates and also drinking camel. And this is exactly what Zulfiqar Ali Bhutto also said to the people, that my people and my country, we will eat grass if need be, but we will not bend and we will not bow down to what you tell us. And so you had some incredible individuals, but Shah Faisal, who I'm talking about, he actually said to Kissinger, he said to Kissinger that my only wish in life now is, absolutely what Kissinger was telling him, that if you go against us, you know what can happen. If you go against us, you know what can happen. So to that, Shah Faisal said that my only desire and wish in my life is to pray two rakats in Masjid Al-Aqsa. What did he say? He said, my only desire is to pray two rakats in Masjid Al-Aqsa. And so it is a must, mashallah. As Muslims, what we need to do is we need to visit Masjid Al-Aqsa, and we need to also visit the Dome of the Rock. This is something which is very, very important. Allahu Akbar. And we need to do this. Now, you'll find that the Orientalists, a lot of them have written about Abdul Malik ibn Marwan in such a way just to tarnish his position. And they said that the reason why this building, this monumental building was constructed, was so that Abdul Malik ibn Marwan could divert the Hujjaj from Makkah Mukarramah to Jerusalem. Now this is absurd for anyone to think like that. Okay, there was a bit of a clash between Abdullah ibn Zubair and Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, but the main culprit was Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. Not Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, who was a known zalim and oppressor. And they say that the reason why Qubbatu Sakhra has been built is so that all the Hujjaj would come towards Jerusalem and they wouldn't stay with Abdullah ibn Zubair, who was in Makkah Mukarramah. And this is wrong. Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, the reason why he built the Dome of the Rock was due to the love that he has for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And secondly, he was a great politician and a great leader, an intelligent person, and he knew that the enemies of Islam were people who did not want to leave any remnants to show that Islam ever existed in the area of Quds. And so what he did is that he said that he wanted to make sure that there was this beautiful building in the face of the enemies. And so there was nothing wrong with that. SubhanAllah. If brothers have been to Spain and Cordoba, it happened to us when we went to visit the Cordoba Masjid. Cordoba Masjid In fact, the famous tafsir that is written, Tafsir-e-Qurtubi, is written by Imam-e-Qurtubi rahmatullah alayh whilst he was in this masjid. And so that's where you get the name Tafsir-e-Qurtubi. Tafsir-e-Qurtubi. Mufti Shafi, the father of Mufti Taqi rahmatullah, Mufti Taqi madzillahul alayh, Mufti Shafi has passed away. Mufti Shafi wrote a tafsir of the Quran, Ma'ariful Quran. And if you read Ma'ariful Quran, a lot of the tafsir that he has extracted is from Tafsir-e-Qurtubi. And so this is Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayh. And I recall we were with Maulana Hashim Saab, who teaches Abu Dawood Sharif in Darul Bari. And when we were in this beautiful masjid, it's actually called now Igreja. It is actually called now Igreja. And Igreja in Spanish means a church. What is it called? Igreja, a church. And so when we went inside the masjid, Maulana Hashim Saab actually said to us that Maulana, mujhe Imam-e-Qurtubi ki khushbu aa rahi hai. What did he say? Ke Maulana, mujhe Imam-e-Qurtubi ki khushbu aa rahi. These were pious people. I can still smell Imam-e-Qurtubi who sat here and he wrote this beautiful tafsir, Tafsir-e-Qurtubi. But khair, we've been there on many occasions, but I remember and I recall this one incident, a painful incident, that when we were there, we saw that the Spanish people were doing a complete renovation of this beautiful masjid. They don't even allow you to read 2 rakats namaz. But on every pillar in Masjid-e-Qurtuba, it was written, La ghaliba illallah. What was written? La ghaliba illallah. Which means that there is no power except the power of Allah. There is no power except the power of Allah. And I was standing there and I actually saw this man rubbing out from the pillars, completely obliterating it, the word La Ghaliba. And so there was no La Ghaliba and he was about to start with the word Allah. And this was extremely painful. Allahu Akbar. And so there are no signs of it being a masjid anymore. Nothing at all. Perhaps the only thing they have preserved, well, it was preserved when we were there, it is the mihrab. And nothing more than that. So Abdul Malik ibn Marwan was an intelligent man and he knew that this is what the enemies do. They wipe out everything of any kind of Islamic symbols that were there. And so that is why what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said to the ummah, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an is the narrator, sorry, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an is the narrator. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an is that sahabi who was extremely diligent in following the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, Abdullah, if you can, make sure you go and visit Masjid-e-Aqsa and pray namaz there. If you can, make sure go and visit Masjid-e-Aqsa and pray your namaz there. And then he said that if you can't visit Masjid-e-Aqsa, the least you can do is send some oil there so that it can be used in the lamps of Masjid-e-Aqsa. Now imagine that, what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying. That if you can't go, then at least send some oil so that it can be used in the lamps of Masjid-e-Aqsa. So as Muslims, subhanallah, we really need to make sure that like how we do Umrah and mashallah we visit Masjid-e-Nabwi and Masjid-e-Haram, it is a must. We should actually go and visit Masjid-e-Aqsa. This is Haram Sharif and in fact the first Qibla of the Muslims. So much so that when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam migrated to Medina Munawwara, for 16 to 17 months, whilst in Medina Munawwara, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam faced Jerusalem al-Quds and he performed his salah. That is why Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an, the famous sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he questioned Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, which is the first masjid to be built? The first masjid to be built. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Masjidul Haram, the Kaaba. And that was actually built by Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. We've covered that. And then Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an said, which is the second building that was built, the second masjid. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Masjid Aqsa. And then he said, what is the time duration, the period between the two? And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 40 years. Arba'ina sana. 40 years. And again, Masjid Aqsa was also built by Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. So Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam built Masjid Aqsa. And Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam also built the first construction was by Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam. Of course, later on you had Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam that came. But it is a must. We travel what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has instructed the ummah. Allah's Nabi has said, Abu Huraira is the narrator, that if you are to undertake any journey, then take a journey to three blessed locations. If you want to travel, travel to three blessed locations. The first is Makkah Mukarrama, Masjidul Haram, and the second is Medina Munawwara, Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the third is Masjid Aqsa. Insha'Allah ta'ala, if Allah wills, we will cover the history, at least the Islamic history, and then further on when we progress, we will of course talk about Jerusalem and Israel, of course, much later on after the Ottoman Empire and what happens. But until Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an comes to Jerusalem and the Islamic history and the many other masjids that are built in Haram Sharif, just very briefly to cover that. So this would just spark up again love for Masjid Aqsa, which is very, very important. So we need to understand that Masjid Aqsa is a different building. Masjid Aqsa is a different building, and the gold dome that you actually see is Qubbatu Sakhra, the dome of the rock, which was actually built and commissioned by Abdul Malik ibn Marwan in the year 72 Hijri. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.